Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Last week we began looking at a problem we'll all be dealing with all the time next year or this year, and that is the problem of worry and anxiety. What we're going to do, though, is now we're going to focus on one particular area of anxiety that people have, a lot of people have. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 24. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I'm going to go back through this scripture. Let us look to God in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this very practical word from your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let us remember, as we hear these words in Scripture, this is not a man's opinion. This is what God says. And so, Lord, help us to apply this to our life in an area where it needs to be applied very thoroughly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's January, and it's been cold. It's going to be cold, but you can remember back to springtime. It's a time of warm days, hot days, humid days, bright sunny days, and days when you go out and get mugged by a street gang called the allergies. You go outside, you run into gang members. They got familiar names: pollen, dust, wasp sting, bug bite, and of course, poison ivy. Poison ivy. You know, mention those two words together and some of us begin itching just hearing the words. Now, this morning we're going to consider some very powerful emotional poison ivy in our lives. And what I'm talking about is the fierce itch of anxiety. And we have open before us a prescription for anxiety written for us right here in Matthew 6 by Jesus, who is the great physician. Now, I want you to be aware of this. Now, last week we talked about anxiety in general, but this week, this poison ivy of anxiety, although it touches everything, family, work, politics, health, future, poison ivy prospects are legion, for they are many. But right here in this particular passage, Jesus is focusing here. It's a zoom lens on anxiety and worry over money and material things. Money and material concerns. There it is in verse 25. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. You see, in verse 25, Jesus is linking what he's about to say with what he's just said. He said, you cannot serve both God and money. In other words, money has the potential to be a rival God. Money, finances can be the object of your trust. Money can call the shots in your life. It can become the lens through which you view all of your life. There's a reason why in politics they say, follow the money. Jesus says, don't let money, don't let material concerns be your focus in life. Don't let those things be your master. You serve only one master, and that master is not, as the King James puts it, mammon. Now, in light of verse 24, Jesus says there's only one way you know when you're infected by the poison ivy of idolatry when it comes to the fierce itch of anxiety about money and about the things money can buy. And by the way, that's what mammon means in Scripture. When you see mammon in the Old King James, it refers to money and whatever money buys, which is most everything, everything material in our life. And the good news today is this. Because Jesus cares about your anxiety, do not be anxious about money. This year, do not be anxious about material concerns. See, our great physician, Jesus, who gives us life, who knows us inside and out, categorically commands us, do not be anxious. Look at verse 25. It is a command. It is not a suggestion. Now, before we dive in, I want you to understand that Jesus is not forbidding financial foresight. He's not against careful, prudent financial planning. Jesus is not telling you here to crack your IRA nest egg, to cancel all your insurance policies, to drain your savings. That's not what Jesus is saying. Do not misunderstand. The Bible, the gospel communicate a clear message, and that is the Lord wants you to be financially wise with what you have, prudent, careful with how you manage the money that God has given to you. So Jesus is not forbidding financial management. What Jesus is doing is this. Jesus is talking about those times when material concerns begin creeping their way into our life to the point where our thinking and our conversations become littered with money and what money buys, littered the way a football stadium is littered after a game. Jesus is talking about when we go to sleep, instead of counting sheep, we count shekels. Financial problems, worry about the bills. Saying something like this, you know, because of inflation, that trip to Kroger last week was more like going to a scary haunted house on Halloween. See, Jesus is talking about those times when financial problems, material concerns, follow us around like your shadow on a bright, sunny day. Friends, the great physician's diagnosis, it's strong, it's blunt. Jesus has no bedside manner when it comes to finances. And he says the anxiety you're feeling over material concerns is wrong. This command coming from the great physician's heart, a heart full of consideration for your well-being, is this. Do not worry. Do not worry. And then Jesus provides us with five reasons why we do not need to worry about material concerns. Five reasons why we should not worry. So fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. First reason we should not worry over financial concerns is this. Worry over material things, worry over money matters, is unnecessary. It is unnecessary. Until 1982, I was a student enrolled at RTS. That stands for Reformed Theological Seminary. In this verse that we're about to look at, verse 26, Jesus enrolls us in a seminary called NTS, that is Nature Theological Seminary. This seminary is Jesus' idea. It's a great institution, top-notch faculty. You got Dr. Robin, Professor Bluebird, and Graduate Assistant Blackbird. And Jesus says, look, notice verse 26, look at the birds of the air. Notice that. Look, they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? That word look in the Greek does not refer to a hurried glance like speeding by a mile marker on I-20. No, look means this. Pull off the road, slow down, stop, pay careful attention, pore over these lessons from the bird professors the way you would study your notes for a final that made up 50% of your grade. In other words, Jesus is saying, when you're worried, become an ornithologist. Learn lessons from the birds. Now, what he's basically saying here in this verse is, have you ever seen a bird driving a John Deere tractor plowing a field? You ever seen a bird with a bag of seed, sowing seed in a field, or riding a combine, harvesting a field? You know, we see outside our windows, in our bushes and trees, birds are totally dependent upon heaven's welfare. And yet their pantry is always full. God provides for their needs. Jesus takes a forkful of the point. He says, open wide. You know, if God created these birds, if He provides for these birds you see outside your window every day, how much more will your heavenly Father provide what you need? See, Jesus is arguing from the lesser to the greater. So, today, tomorrow morning, when you hear the birds outside singing, here's what they're singing. Hey, God takes care of us. God will take care of you. After all, hey, us birds aren't created in God's image. Jesus didn't die on the cross for us birds to save us from our sins. So don't devalue yourself as someone who's created in God's image by entertaining anxiety about money and material things. See, friends, the God who gives the birds of the air heavenly care packages every day is also your gracious Heavenly Father who assigns great value to you. If you don't believe you have great value, consider what God did. He sent His Son, Jesus, to live and to die for you. Don't ever doubt, God values you. He promises to provide for you. So we need not worry over money and material things because worry is unnecessary. Second reason not to worry is this. Worry over money, over material things, not only is it unnecessary, but worry is useless. Useless. Look at verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Actually, the word there is a cubit, 18 inches, 1.5 feet. It's a picture of life span as a journey. And the idea here is that God fills your tank with enough gasoline to take you to a certain point down the road. And when you arrive at the point where the gas tank registers empty, your life's journey is over. And when you've reached the end of your life's journey, all the worry in the world is not going to give you 18 more inches of driving down the road. Now, please understand, you cannot extend the quantity, that is, the length of your life, but you can do this. Hear this. You can do a lot of things. You are responsible to do a lot of things to improve the quality of your life. The quantity of your life, how long you live, is up to God. The quality of your life is up to you. You can do a lot of things. You can eat right. You can exercise. You can avoid unhealthy, very fun stuff. You can improve your emotional health. Nevertheless, you cannot live any longer than God has determined you to live. But don't use that as an excuse to cop out and not pursue a path of health. But what he's saying here in context is this. You know, when I take a long look back on my short life, am I going to say, you know, money sure was tight, but during those tough times, worry really pulled me through. Gee, I wish I'd worried more than I did. And I'm so glad I could get my family and friends to gather with me and worry with me about making car payments and paying off the mortgage and being without insurance. How encouraging it was to hear these words. Well, things don't look too good right now, so all that's left to do is worry. See, when you reflect on your life, is that what you want to see? A landscape littered with the wreckage of worry about money and material things? Listen, the most futile, useless activity, one of the most futile, useless activities on the face of this earth is worry about material concerns. It is as futile as trying to swim laps in your bathtub. So, don't wring your hands over money and material things because that is unnecessary. It is useless. Now, third reason is this. Worry over money and material things is, get ready, unbelief. Look at verses 28 and 30. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Now, look at this last phrase. O you of little faith. The great physician is taking a scalpel and cutting beneath the surface to our core problem with worry and material things. I mean, really, are you ever worried about your clothes? You know, I know the ad industry makes a mint banking certain products with nice labels. But does it worry you when your blue jeans aren't American Eagle, Guess, or Tom Ford? Does it worry you when your shirt's not Polo, Nike, Columbia, or whatever? If your suit's not Brooks Brothers or Joseph A. Bank? The shoes you're wearing are not New Balance or Hoka's or Birkenstock or Johnson & Murphy? Yeah, it's nice to have classic clothing. Go for it. But too many of us, and here's where the problem is, we have our identity caught up in what we wear. We worry about what we wear. And Jesus says, look, I've asked you to be an ornithologist. Now I'm going to ask you to be a horticulturalist. Look at the plants growing in the fields alongside the highways. I mean, really, when was the last time you saw a mama lily sitting down with her sewing machine and her Singer sewing pattern number 34 making a dress for a little girl flower? You see, according to verse 29, when King Solomon was gloried out, sporting his Sabbath day finest, Solomon was never better dressed than those lilies of the field, wildflowers growing alongside the road on Lakeland Drive, I-20, Highway 471. Have you ever noticed they're wearing designer clothes? The label says, Heavenly Father Apparel Company. And it costs you nothing. Verse 30 is a slap on the wrist. He's arguing from the lesser to the greater. Warriors are people of little faith. Worry here is equated with unbelief. It's not believing that God sees, God knows, God cares not. God is more than able to take care of you, to feed you, to clothe you. Listen, do you believe the God who provides is in control of your life? Do you believe that God is in control? And to the extent that you worry about material things, you're displaying little faith in God. Now, it doesn't get any better. I just want to warn you. Because at this point, the great physician stops sounding like a doctor and he starts sounding like a dentist. Jesus is about to drill down and hit a nerve. Notice, we don't get knotted up in money and material things because it's unnecessary, it is useless, it is unbelief. But fourth, worry over money and material things is un-Christian. Verse 31, 32. Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The Gentiles seek after those things. Your Heavenly Father knows you need them. The NIV puts it pagans, ESV Gentiles. In other words, he's talking about people who do not worship and serve the living God. It's New Testament slang for unbelievers. And a pagan, you know, we have ideas about pagans, you know, tree huggers or whatever. But pagan is someone who their thoughts about life just revolve around what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. Just listen to the conversations of unbelievers. They're obsessed with eating and drinking and clothing. Listen to people who do not know Jesus in a saving way. They focus their conversation on material things. I love the quote by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, there are two kinds of materialist. One is the kind that say, matter is all there is. And the other kind of materialist says, matter is all that matters. It says, either way, you're a materialist. So, if someone were to eavesdrop on your conversation, what's it about? Is it swept up in worry about material concerns? Running after material concerns? Worry because you may not have the things you think you want or need? Not saying you're not a Christian if you're caught up in this worry. I'm just saying it is an un-Christian way to live. Christians can be very un-Christian in the way they live. They can be very un-Christian in their attitudes. And this kind of worry is an un-Christian thing to do. You know, we blast the secular humanist. Oh, those secular humanists. Secular humanists. But really, what do they believe? They believe if there is a God, then He's remote. He's not interested. He doesn't care. Friends, when we worry, what are we saying? God's remote. He's distant. He's not concerned about what I eat and drink and wear. See, some of us, and I include myself from time to time, I'm not going to plead not guilty to this. Some of us fall under the category of practicing secular humanist claiming to be a Christian. Our profession and our practice isn't matching up. I can't answer, do you fall in that category? You've got to answer the question. But listen, you want to run after something? Do you want to passionately pursue something? You want to be anxious about something? Yes, I'm looking for a place for my anxiety to land. Okay, here's what you can be anxious for. Look at verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, what you'll eat, what you'll wear, all this type of thing, will be added to you. So, be concerned about the kingdom of God. Be concerned about the best way to showcase the rule of God in your life, in your family, in your community, in your church, where you work, in your school, in your peer group. Be concerned about the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I love in Philippians 3:9 when Paul says, being found in Christ, not having a legalistic righteousness that comes from keeping the law. We can't do that. We can't make ourselves righteous that way. But a righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we're to be pursuing. Is that your life? Showcasing the glory of God, the kingdom of God, and being in Christ and living that out. You know, if we took the time and the energy we channeled into worry and channeled all that time and energy into the kingdom of God and His righteousness, can you imagine what the impact of Christians would be in this church, in this community, in this nation, in this world? This world would be transformed. We complain about the world. We moan about the world. But if we cared as much about the kingdom of God and His righteousness as we cared about material things, this world would change. Seek first the kingdom of God. Care about what I care about. And don't worry. God will take care of that other stuff. So, we've seen here, don't get worked up, strangled with anxiety over material concerns, over money, because it's unnecessary, it's useless, it's unbelief, it's unchristian. Fifth and finally, worry about money, worry about material things is unhealthy. Unhealthy. Unnecessary, useless, unbelief, unchristian, unhealthy. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, here's something you can take for whatever anxiety you're having this morning. And you're anxious about something, I know. All anxiety is physically unhealthy. All anxiety. I heard one of the best descriptions. I think John Maxwell gave this description. It's a great description of worry, okay? Jot it down if you don't write down anything else. This is the best description of worry I've ever come across in my life. Here it is. Worry is today's mouse eating tomorrow's cheese. Think about it. Worry is today's mouse eating tomorrow's cheese. Question, what cheese is your worry mouse feeding on these days? What's eating at you these days? Are you worried or anxious about how your children or your grandchildren will turn out? You worried about your health? You worried about being attacked somewhere, sometimes by something or someone? Are you worried about the economy? That's what we've been talking about today. Do you wonder, are you worried, I don't know if I'll have enough money to live in the future? You see, when you think about tomorrow, you need to ask yourself, am I gazing into tomorrow through a crystal ball of anxiety? Because worry is a welcome mat inviting the unwanted visitor of stress into our life. Stress is a killer. Worry brings stress into our mind and body and soul. And notice he says, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. It seems like Jesus is saying, friends, this may be the one time when procrastination is the wisest course to follow. Why waste all that energy worrying about something that hasn't happened yet? You realize that? Studies show that about 80% of what you worry about hasn't happened. You just think it might. Why drag tomorrow's troubles into today? Why allow today's mouse to eat tomorrow's cheese? Deal with tomorrow's troubles tomorrow. Now, I want to wrap this up with two simple strategies. Two simple strategies that come from this verse to deal with worry over material concerns. First strategy is this. Consider. Consider. When it's the end of the month and your paycheck balance looks like a scoreboard before the football game begins, 0-0-0-0, go for a walk. Go outside. It's good for you physically, by the way. Go outside and listen to what your Heavenly Father is telling you in nature. And remind yourself, you know, this God who provides all this food, all this beauty I'm looking at, this God who provides me with salvation through faith in Christ, surely this God that has given us this world and this sunshine and this beauty, surely this God will provide what I need. After all, this cross reminds you every day He's provided for your greatest need. Will He not provide for your lesser needs? First strategy, consider. Second strategy, concentrate. Concentrate. Concentrate on the only two things worth worrying about in your life. There are two things worth worrying about, and that's this: the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You need to worry this morning, am I in God's kingdom? Well, the answer to that question is, do I have the righteousness given through faith in Christ alone? Do I possess that righteousness? Is my faith in Christ alone? And then, are you pursuing a life of practical righteousness? Are you seeking to become in practice what you are declared to be by God in Scripture? Listen, nothing else matters. Really, nothing else matters. Consider. Concentrate. That, friends, is the great physician's prescription for anxiety about money and material concerns. Let's pray. Lord, we admit to fretting over our money. Lord, give us Holy Spirit conviction to see how unnecessary and useless and what unbelief and how unchristian, how unhealthy our worry is. And Lord, don't just give us Holy Spirit conviction, but give us Holy Spirit-fueled power to consider, to remind ourselves that You are God who takes care of us, and to concentrate on what really should concern us, and that is Your kingdom and Your righteousness. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.